When you start recording a podcast, just make sure that you press record because I got 20 minutes in and I forgot to press record. So let's start this thing over and run it back, shall we?
Hey, Sid. Thought this would be a good question to call in with because I feel like you're someone who's always busy, always doing different things. And something that I struggle with personally is feeling like I'm spreading myself too thin. I'm saying yes to literally everything because I am just that type of person and I want to be a part of everything, but then not knowing how to strike the balance between being a yes man and also still having time for myself. I feel like sometimes I get to the end of it and I realize I have all these plans, yet none of them are actually things that were like top of the list of priorities for me. So I'm just curious if you've ever dealt with that yourself. And what advice you would give to somebody who feels like they struggle with that balance in their life. Love your podcast. Thanks for having this call-in number. And let me know what you think.
I have a rule when I'm agreeing to plans because I am a notorious overachiever, but that probably too. I am a notorious overscheduler of myself and not listening to my own priorities. So I have a rule of 2 hours. This is a 2-hour rule, and this has saved me and my friendships and my overscheduling and like feeling like overwhelmed. The 2-hour rule. You do not respond to that text with the plan until 2 hours after you've gotten the text, because in the first few minutes, you're probably feeling frantic. You're excited. You check your calendar really quick. It looks like it's free. Okay, yes, I'll absolutely be there. I have nothing else going on. Perfect. Oh, wait. An hour later, you get a text from your sister-in-law saying you guys are having fam day and it's really important that you're there. And now it's chaotic, right? Like now you've got to cancel on your friend. You just said yes and now you're saying no. Or worst case is you try to go to both and now you're burnt out, right? So I have this rule. It has helped me immensely. I am a notorious plate too full person. And I've been really trying to change that because I also don't want that to be who I am. And honestly, I have been more of a better friend now than I ever have been because I'm not being a notorious overscheduler. Like I'm not saying yes to a million things. I have a little bit of free time here and there. I can stop by my friend's house. We had breakfast the other day randomly after I taught because she didn't have meetings and I could take a meeting virtually. And we just had breakfast on a weekday. Like how cute is that? Just because I had time, because I didn't overschedule myself and book myself back to back. Wow, gee, what do you know? So I'm learning, you know, and spreading myself too thin and saying yes is something I've struggled with for a long time. In fact, it honestly flares up my ADHD, which is what we were going to talk about today, and like puts myself into a slump. So also think about these three things. What do I actually enjoy? Like if I don't enjoy like rock climbing, let's say, because I always use the bar example for myself, but like rock climbing and my friend asked me to go rock climbing with them and it's expensive. Like, do I actually really want to do that? Or can I say, oh my gosh, you go. Try to save a little money, but meet me for like a picnic after, and I'll tell you, like we can hang out and I'll tell you all the things I need to update you on. So what do you actually want to be doing? Rock climbing is so random, but it was the first thing that came to mind for some reason. Why am I doing this? Am I doing this because I actually want to be here, or am I doing this because somebody else wants something from me and I feel I need to give it to them? Like that is another thing that's huge. It's like, do I actually want to be doing this? Like why? Why am I doing it, right? And then finally, like, how do I actually feel doing it? So I've talked about this with friendships, but having that feeling inside and knowing like, okay, I went to do something and I feel so much better after. I feel energized. I feel my cup is full. I feel relaxed. I'm in, like I had a great day. I'm a little tired, but I had a great day, right? Versus this, my heart is beating. My feet hurt. I'm exhausted. I'm laying down and I can't unwind because I'm just overwhelmed. I shouldn't have been there. I shouldn't have stayed out that late. Now I'm going to be up late and I'm going to be up, you know, like I have an early morning the next day. Like understand what your body is telling you about those plans that you're making and doing. And you're going to have this transition period, right? So you have time in between right now when you're a people pleaser and saying yes way too much. I'm sorry. I love you. And at the very end of where you're moving towards, which is somebody who's got balance, still showing up for things, but knowing who they are, you'll have time in between there to check those three questions in what you're doing. And I will tell you, I have learned these things. It's taken time. My friend actually complimented me not that long ago on being just better, like literally a better human, and better at my plans and better at my calendar. And I feel better. And I'm also showing up as the best friend that I've ever been to all of my people, because I can actually show up. Like, I can come to plans, I can make it happen. And when I get frantic, I know now why and what I need to do. So that is what I will leave you with. Transparently, you guys, if you're hearing me like sniffle a lot and sound kind of funny and groggy, I went to the ear, nose, throat doctor today. I have a really bad deviated septum, but they sprayed something up my nose so they could like go in with one of those little cameras. And it's like, for the first time ever, I can breathe out of my nose, but it's like blocking my like back of my nose and throat. So I feel really weird and I'm talking kind of funny. So don't bug me. But I wanted to talk about why it is that I'm a day late in posting an episode, and I'm also a week late, so a week and a day, and why I'm talking to you now, and why we're talking about like getting your stuff back together, getting your shit back together, and pulling yourself out of that slumpity dump that we always go into. A commonality for me that I notice is shit gets really, really overwhelming all of a sudden. And I feel myself spiraling, and I catch myself avoiding people and avoiding activity. And I feel like I can't stop spiraling, and I start to hurt when little things aren't hurtful. Like, for instance, like Jordan and I having like a small tiff over cleaning, like, and then I can't pull myself out of it that entire day. Like, I'm obsessing over it at dinner and at the grocery store, and then we get into bed and I'm still upset about it. And something just doesn't feel right. And when my shit starts to feel not right, I fall out of all my habits. I fall out of my supplements. I fall out of my hard work. I fall out of fall out of my workout routine. I mean, like, I just go into a full slump mode. And the worst part about all of this is that I start talking to myself so bad, like mean. Like, you're not good enough. Why are you even podcasting? No one cares. No one listens to you anyway. It's not going to go anywhere. Like, good luck, sister. Like, I mean, literally horrible things. And I don't know why I'm so bad to myself sometimes. And I can't explain why I get in these holes and why I get into this overwhelm, but I've figured some things out to get myself out. And I won't say I found the key, the golden ticket, but I have found things that have really, really changed when I've pulled out of this slump and how fast I can get myself out of the slump. And honestly, like, when I start to feel it like kind of drifting in, keeping it the fuck out, because I don't want this shit looming over me. I'm like a black cloud puffing around in the sky right now. Like, that's what I was like yesterday and the day before. We're the worst by far. I will say something that makes my slump worse is like, I get more uncomfortable with the thought of staying in the same spot. But the thought of doing more, like putting more on my plate or getting something done, gets so vastly overwhelming that I can't even like see straight and I can't pull myself out. So I just wanted to talk about that paralyzing feeling of not feeling good enough and not feeling like you can pull yourself out and feeling really, really dark. And there's been so many people who have messaged me lately saying they feel that and they feel the same. And I know I'm not alone. And I wish I talked nicer to myself, and I wish I always took my own advice and was good to myself and stay on my habits. But what I've realized is slumps are inevitable. And when we can pull ourselves out of those slumps, that's all we need to be able to do. The highs, the super, super highs, and the lows and lows, they're all there for a reason, right? The lows get us motivated and push us out of something that we need to get out of, and usually will bring us into a better, even higher high. And those highs are amazing, and they're freeing, and they're there because you know what the low, low feels like. So I'm learning to appreciate, using that word very sparingly and very lightly, but appreciate the lows, because it means that there's another really, really nice high on the other side. But it's not without these things that I've figured out, okay? So I did, with all that to be said, I just wanted to say, I see you in your spiral. I understand the feeling. I am not like some sort of like guru, and I don't know exactly how to not be mean to yourself, and I don't know how to be always the best version of yourself. And I won't tell you how to stay on your habits no matter what happens, but I will be there with you to say that you are human, that you can slow down, that you can only control what you can control, that I feel what you're feeling, and that I'm here with you. And that's what all of this podcast is about, is about just being in the present and being here with you. And, giving you a little piece of what I've learned, and also giving you exactly what I'm doing right at the moment, because sometimes that's all I know and that's all I can fucking work on is right here, right now. So that's what we're talking about, is the overwhelm and all of that. And the emotionalness, I feel emotionalness. I've had a hard time letting myself be emotional, and that was really weird. Like even last night, I was just like kind of crying, and I was like, oh, don't cry. Like, don't let Jordan know you're crying. And then I'm like, well, why? It's so good for you to release emotion. So let yourself feel I'm in a slump and I'm getting out of that slump, and I'm going to bring you on that journey with me. So I want to read this listener write in really quick about emotions. And then we're going to talk about ADHD queens, because I am definitely one. Okay. But let's transition to being too emotional, because I think there is a balance, but I want to hear what you think. Hey, Sid, I'm having a huge issue with being too emotional. I didn't used to be this way. It bothers me so much that I'm like this, and I truly feel like I have a good reason to be bothered by things I get emotional about, but I want to be able to just like not let it bother me to the point that I'm in tears. My boyfriend and I argue about it a lot. He says I cry over pointless stuff. I just don't want to be this way anymore. If you have any tips on being able to control your emotions, I would greatly appreciate it. As always, love the podcast. First and foremost, any man that says you are way too emotional and you cry too much about pointless stuff is somebody who may need a little bit of emotional intelligence development and maturity. Okay, I will start with that first and foremost, because that feels very unfair to say that to somebody when they're feeling something. Okay, I will say that you recognize that you're being too emotional, and I wish I understood what they were about, like little examples. But whenever I feel like I'm too emotional, or you know, I'm feeling extra emotional where I can't control it, and I mean, that emotions can be anger too. It's not always tears, but sometimes anger shows up as tears too. Usually there's an underlying reason why you're feeling so emotional. There's something that is actually like bubbling and boiling inside you that is going to end up overwhelming and overflowing and making you explode on every little thing that's going on around you. And I don't want to preface your life off of this little tiny write-in, but there may be an underlying issue in the relationship that maybe you are avoiding. Maybe it's work related and you're not feeling fulfilled. Maybe it's family related. Maybe something's just frustrating you. It could even be financial strain, because that is something I have felt. Oh my God. I used to feel that all the time when I didn't have my shit together and have a budget sheet. Thank you, Jordan. Literally. Why did I point up like he was God? I have no idea why I just did that. Please. Please. I don't know what just happened. Okay. But, there's likely something else going on, sister, and the sooner you find out what that is and address it head on, the better you are going to feel. But I will tell you one thing, emotions are a beautiful thing. Feeling and knowing what your body is trying to tell you, it's a beautiful thing. And just remember that life is not that serious. We take it too seriously, and we have good reasons to get bothered by a lot of things, but sometimes we're just overwhelmed and we just need a breath, right? We need to take a breath, find ourselves back on our track, and just start moving along. Move and shuffling forward, baby, because that's all we can do. Raise your hand if you are an ADHD queen. I have mine so high in the air. I'm raising it high. I hope I shaved my armpits. I cannot remember if I did. I happen to be an ADHD queen, and all of this overwhelm to be said, all of this like just slumps to be said, I've realized some of it has to do with my ADHD. And whether you have ADHD or not, anxiety, depression, all of those things loop into this. I want to talk about those things and this, my top tips for being ADHD. And that can mean literally you just need to get your shit together. That's okay too. We'll call it that too. But I got a list for you. But I got to play this TikTok first, because I felt so seen when I watched this last night. Jordan was like, "What are you watching over there?" And I'm like, "Quiet. I'm busy. I'm busy healing. So slay."
You have 5 new messages.
Hey, Carl, it's Jen from Finance. Could you submit your expenses this week?
Hey, Carl, happy Friday. It's Jen, Finance. Just need those receipts today.
Me again, Carl. Really need those receipts, like last week. Please just tell me where they are. Are you by your desk right now?
Finance teams, you shouldn't be chasing down Carl or anyone else. With Ramp, expenses are sent with a text and reminders happen automatically. Switch your business to ramp.com today and love finance again.
ADHD life lessons I wish someone told me after getting diagnosed, number 13 of 50. If you have ADHD, you will often end up ghosting friends, family, or loved ones because everything that you don't physically have around you is usually out of your mind. You have these intense phases of connection only to end up completely going off grid, and the longer you don't reach out, the more guilty you start to feel. This is when I had to learn to communicate this aspect of my ADHD openly with the people I care about and ask them to actually start calling or planning in-person time with me if they wanted to reconnect. Even though this seemed weird to do at first, my close circle now knows that it's nothing personal when I don't reach out, which has strengthened my relationships beyond measure. Lesson 13, be vulnerable with the people that matter.
I love that. The vulnerability piece has saved me. And I watched this and I was like, oh my God, when he says, I think the exact words are like, when you see something, it's out of sight, out of mind, basically. And then you feel guilt for not like facing it head on. That can be for people in relationships, but that also can be for tasks. And I can like see some, or excuse me, not see something and it can be out of mind, but then I remember it's there and it's like creeping over my shoulder. And then the guilt of not doing it gets bigger and the overwhelm of being able to do it gets bigger. And then I overwhelm myself in this huge like carrying of overwhelm over me and to the point I just can't get it done. And then usually that's when I spiral. So I just wanted to explain that and share that because it has helped me a shit ton, even just addressing what has been bothering me and that overwhelm feeling. But being vulnerable is the number one. Number one, being emotional and recognizing your emotions, feeling things, right? Feeling what you actually want to be doing and where you want to be in that time. And just like addressing what is going on. And that's what we're fucking doing. We're addressing our shit. We're ADHD queens and we're going to get shit done. And we're going to pick ourselves back up out of our hole. And because of you guys, I was able to do that. Like truly you guys heal me too. So just know that. So get your pen and paper. Here are the top things that I wrote down that help with ADHD. Exercise in the morning. You guys, exercise is energy release. So you get all your jitters right out right away instead of being on your phone. And it's a dopamine releaser. So you're just going to be like happy-go-lucky. You moved your body. You feel freaking good. And it's so important to do that. And I'm not talking at 5 a.m. if that's not who you are, but exercising optimally is in the morning. If you have ADHD and you want that dopamine release, get it done no matter what during the day. If you've got to trade your exercise in the morning for a morning walk, I'm literally going to say abso-fucking-lutely because that is so important. And some days you won't exercise and that's going to be okay. You're just going to have to just enjoy the slowdown, but like enjoying, feeling, knowing what your body is telling you, okay? I wrote down number two is meditation. It strengthens impulse control and focus. Meditation does, okay? I used to do this all the time when we were in COVID. I literally probably was in my best mental state during that time, which is crazy because it was a crazy period of life. And I was living alone, I said I was living alone and I was not. I had two roommates, but I had my own room and I consider that living alone considering I've shared a room for as long as I've basically been at college. I think I had my own room like once or twice and one of my roommates didn't really live there anyway. That all to be said, the fact that I was in a great mental space in a weird time, I would literally say is because of meditation. And you also don't need to be like the meditation guru. Like 5 minutes is a win. So, and guided meditations are also amazing. Like I really, God, what's that guy's name? I'm going to look it up right now. Okay. Joe Dispenza, Tuning into New Potentials. My friend Callan, she's amazing. She's going to be on the podcast. Dr. Joe Dispenza. She put me on this. It's walking meditations. It's $25 to buy. I know they have YouTube ones too, but it doesn't have to be a silent meditation where you're teaching yourself to like shut everything out. But it is important to work on your focus because working on your focus as somebody with ADHD, it's so freaking important. I'm like the brain of an ant. I see something flying out the window. I'm looking at Deacon, like try to go downstairs into the cat hole. Deacon, no. And I'm like already distracted. So working on meditation, which I'm working on right now, start small, continue to build. Don't put pressure on yourself, okay? Exercise, meditation, now hydration. So Cognitive power, baby, and alertness comes from hydration. It comes from giving your body water, and that also means electrolytes. I've also heard a lot about brain dust. I'm not suggesting that supplement yet. I'm going to try it first and then I'll let you know, but you need to hydrate. I mean, literally one commonality of the last 2 days when I was in my worst of worst slumps was that I was freaking dehydrated as shit. I was so dehydrated. Like I only had drink, I mean, maybe 8 ounces of water by like 3 p.m. Like that is brute. And I had worked out too. So you need to hydrate. Your body is water. You need to give your body hydration. Believe it or not, it's going to change how you feel. I harp on this in my class all the time and tell my people this, but I'm telling you right now. Schedule your damn day. I'm talking like, what do I want to accomplish this day? Block it. Block it. I'm talking like in the morning when I wake up, I'm going to wake up at 6:30. I have a little bit of time, 30 minutes to get like reset and change. I'm going to the gym at 7. I'm working out till 8. Like block it out until you get to your day. I leave my work stuff in my work calendar, but I'm blocking my 6 to 9 a.m. and my 5 to 9 p.m. Like I am literally using those blocks to understand what I need to be doing. Otherwise, I will flounder in the unknown. That also goes for like, what do you want to accomplish that week? Like what needs to get done? For me, I know I've got a few random things that I need to get done. One little thing at a time, block it. I really want to go get my eyebrows done. It's been overwhelming me. It's on my to-do list, for God's sakes. I blocked it. I made the appointment, done. It's over. It's out of my to-do list. It's done. Okay. I do all of those blockings on Sunday, usually in the morning, because if it gets to nighttime, I'm overwhelmed and sad and a little bit in my scaries. So I don't like to do any scheduling at night. Okay. Avoid too many carbs early in the morning because that increases serotonin and is likely going to make you a little bit sleepy because your digestive system is working really, really hard. So I'm not saying like, don't have carbs. I eat carbs in the morning, but don't have the heaviest amount of carbs. Like you're not having your leftover pasta for breakfast. Otherwise, you are going to feel probably a little bit sleepy because your body's working on breaking it down. So just an easy hack, checking your carb intake in the morning can help with energy, focus, and generally ADHD. I have yet to try this, but I have ordered it. And so I'm going to report back because I got to know, but I keep seeing things everywhere about L-theanine and caffeine. It's untested for me, but I've heard like a ton of feedback on L-theanine and caffeine together are super, super good for ADHD girls and guys. I just call them the ADHD queens for now because those ADHD, pants. Do I have ADHD? No. The L-theanine interacts with that caffeine and your body can like digest better. There's a ton more research. I'm asking the nutritionist that I talked about. She's recording and coming over on Friday. I'm going to ask her about it and get the like intel on it. But I've seen a lot of people talk about it and a lot of creditable people too. So we'll see what she says. I've got my to-do list. And honestly, my to-do list in my phone is for distracting thoughts and ideas as well. So I want to preface with, sometimes, yes, a to-do list can get overbearing and it can be too much in there, but sometimes just having a brain dump place in one singular spot, one spot, okay? If you're committing to paper, go do paper. If you're committing to your phone, do the phone, but have it in one spot so you can just breathe and know where it is and know that, okay, I won't forget it, so it's okay. It's not out of sight, out of mind, but it is for right now. It's on my list. I literally swear by this. It has saved me not having to-do lists in 17 places, number one. Number two is it helps me get the little shit done so that it doesn't sit on my to-do list for years. And that's what I choose to block off and get one by one done once it's Sunday. And I'm like, okay, what do I need to get done for this week? What do I actually need to work on? This is new for me. Healing frequencies. Deacon has joined the podcast, everybody. She's jumping on me. Healing frequencies and specifically 18.5 frequencies. You can just look that up in Spotify. I have a whole healing playlist that I saved and I'll try to put that in the bio of this episode. But I love healing frequencies. It has helped me so much just to calm down. This is crazy, but when I'm in the car now, I only listen to healing frequencies unless it's a podcast or unless I've got a jam on my way to go teach. It is so subconsciously calming. I can't explain it to you. And I thought it was a load of BS. Like, how is this tune, the song going to release, you know, different emotions in my brain? But think about it. It's song, it's music. Of course it's going to. And especially subconsciously, like I feel myself slowly calming down in the car, where the car has notoriously been a rage place for me. Like, I get just a little irritated and annoyed of drivers and different things. There's stupidity on the road. It's never going away. So the longer we take to accept that, the more annoyed we're going to be in general. Next one I have is natural supplements for the brain. So I talked about that brain dust, but really having something like magnesium. Okay, so when I wake up, I get my electrolyte water. I am hydrating myself right away. I don't have coffee be the first thing that goes into my mouth or into my body. And then I'm grabbing for my magnesium. I've heard really good things about GABA or GABA. I don't, again, not used GABA, but I'm going to ask the nutritionist, dietitian, all the things, the educated person. I'm going to ask her about that to make sure that I'm using and doing the right things. But I love me some magnesium. I love me some fatty acid fish oil in my brain, because my brain is just happy and feels full instead of foggy. And it feels energized versus deprived or depleted. Yesterday, forgot my magnesium. There's no coincidence that it was my worst day of my little spiral. Same with the day before. I had forgotten my magnesium over the weekend. So make sure if you're taking supplements, you're serious about them and you're continuing them. Another really good one is ashwagandha. I think that one is phenomenal. I've really loved that one too. But don't expect to feel something after day one of supplements. Like, you got to take a little bit and you've got to let yourself feel it in your body, okay? This one is all for my girls who overschedule themselves. Schedule BS time. Yes, I literally just said that. Schedule BS time in your phone. Time where you are giving yourself permission to just like twiddle your thumbs and like figure out what you need to be doing. Because sometimes I'm just overwhelmed with, I know I have a larger to-do list than what I allotted for. And I need like an hour to just like not know what I'm going to do and be a little bit more mindful. Maybe that BS time is where you journal, or maybe it's where you write down ideas, or you go on a walk, whatever it is that you're doing. Schedule time to BS. It helps me so much. Because I scheduled BS time and I needed it for my grocery list and like prioritizing what meals I want to make for that week, I now know I need that into my weekly plan. Like, I need 20 minutes to figure out what I want to eat for that week. And then I'm not going to feel stressed about when I get to the grocery store, because I know what I want to eat. And then because I knew what I wanted to eat that week, I now have meals to bring in with me during that week to eat for lunch so that I'm not spending money. I just removed stress of what I was going to eat, stress of being at the grocery store and overspending and not buying things I need, stress financially where I'm buying lunches and I don't need to buy lunches if I just plan, and meal prep opportunities. Like, I just solve for like six problems just having some BS time in my calendar and schedule. So think about those things when you are doing your ADHD moments, but lie it all out. What is the expectation of me? What do I want to get done? What is it that's looming? Like, write it down. If something is looming, write it down and write out why it is looming in that little to-do list. Remember where you have that brain dump? Write it in there. Like, right now, this podcast was looming for me. Why? Because I had people that I felt like I was letting down. That was why. I felt like I couldn't breathe and I was supposed to go create content when I didn't feel good. And I was sad because I was worried people were going to drop off as listeners if I missed a week. I needed to just write it down, realize that I was controlling something that didn't need so much control, and I needed to take a breath, okay? So lie it out, because I think once we do that, you'll understand the expectations of you. You'll understand what you're feeling may be a little bit unrealistic. Your ADHD brain will be able to calm down.
You've done it again, finance teams. You closed the books, and it went fine. Sure, some expenses were missing receipts, but that's fine. Stayed late to process invoices by hand. It's all fine. But don't you deserve better than fine? With Ramp, expenses are submitted with a text, invoices are coded automatically, and everything is connected to your accounting system, so you can close the books without all the busy work. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again.
Here's five things I would do if I wanted to change my life within a month. Because Sad Girl Summer is out of season. First thing I would do is ask myself, what do I want out of life? And define my goals for each aspect of my life. For career, for friends, for love life. I want you to go full Delulu mode and go on Pinterest and make like a shit ton of vision boards for each aspect. Then I would ask myself, who is the version of me that's living in my Pinterest board? Like, who is this hotter, cooler version of myself that is taking weekend trips to Mykonos? And I would try to analyze the mind of this hotter, cooler version of me. Like, what's her daily routine? What are her beliefs about herself? How does she dress? How does she speak about herself, etc. The third thing I would do is I would look at current me right now, and then I would look at this dream version of me, and I would identify the gap between both versions. What are the differences between me and the hotter version of myself? Fourth thing I would do is I would ask myself, what is holding me back and keeping me in this current version of me? Is it bad habits? Is it a toxic relationship? Is it friends that make you feel like shit? So I can figure out what's gotta go. And yes, this means your musty ass boyfriend has to go. Sorry. The fifth thing I would do is I would step into the mold of this new you. Literally method act as if I was them. Like, I want you to give your best fucking performance. You need to give Austin Butler cosplaying as Elvis 2 years later energy, okay? Like, full Elvis accent and everything. I want blood, sweat, tears. Not really. But dress like them, speak like them, and I would start to practice their habits one by one. If they're someone that exercises regularly and I don't exercise at all right now, I would start by just going to the gym twice a week. And then once I'm consistent with that, I can work my way up.
Little habits into big lifestyle changes. I love that video. I found it the other day. And it's all about like picking yourself up out of a slump and like realigning your lifestyle. And I honestly like would go 10 out of 10 to every single thing that she said. Her name's Maddie. I'm sorry, I should have said her last name. Maddie Cleary. But here's the thing. The one that I was like, oh my God, I need to do this is identify the gap of who you want to be and like understanding what is holding me back and what has to go. So I needed to figure out, okay, if I'm in this little hole in this slump, what is the difference between who I am right now and who I want to be? Who I am right now is somebody that is sad, that is not believing in themselves, that is in a slump for no reason. No good reason as far as I thought, right? I'm talking as if I'm in the slump. And who doesn't believe in what they're doing, who feels like they're throwing shit at the wall and it's not sticking and they're not like giving themselves any credit for anything they've already done. And who I want to be is somebody who follows their routine, who sticks to their plans, sticks to their guns when they're making a routine for themselves and believes in themselves, believes in the things that they're creating, believes in what they're sharing. Like, I needed that energy back. And so this reminder was huge. I literally was like, oh my God, I do need to step into the mold of who I want to be and that new person and fucking act like it, right? Like, act like the person I want to be. So she talks about being in this state of just like figuring it out and embodying who you want to be. And I also just wanted to talk about like a few things that to do to get your mind and body back, like a mindset reset, okay? So I'm going to remove any ones that we've already talked about. These are all net new things that I've taken either from what I know and personally do when I'm trying to get my mind and my body back in like flow. And I'm not talking about body back like exercising. I'm talking like body back as in like mindset shift, okay? Body and mind need to be in together, in the zone together, okay? Before I start, I urge you to think of these less about habits and more about helping yourself and doing the ones that stick out to you, okay? Picking the ones that stick out to you versus picking every single one that you like hear, okay? I'm gonna start with sauna is everything after I work out, after I do my lift, which by the way is not going to be 100% every single day, so don't expect it. Right? I'm going to move my body as many times as I can during a week. My goal is going to be 5. But after I work out, I sauna and that is me time. Like that's when I habit stack my healing frequencies. I listen to those in the sauna and I stretch and I do some clamshells for my hips because I've got bad hip mobility. I feel so good after doing this. My goal is 15 minutes. Usually I end up doing about 10 to 12 just because of time and making sure that I'm on schedule, but I'm getting better about it, right? So saunaing is huge, okay? Motivational podcasts, I kid you not, if I'm not meditating, which I'm getting back into, right? Or listening to my healing frequencies or hyping myself up with Megan Lee Stallion, I'm telling you, like listening to a motivational podcast, even if it just kind of flows in and out of your subconscious brain, is huge, okay? One that my friend sent me, and I'm going to read it verbatim because they said it changed their life and they listened to it many, many, many times over. it's a Jay Shetty podcast. So on purpose, his podcast is called, and it's called Why You Are Wasting Your Time with Cardio and 6 Small Changes to Make for Weight Loss. And this is, it's basically Kim Kardashian's workout girl, Sineda Grega or Greca. I can't remember how you say it, but basically the gist of this, and I'm going to read it, or excuse me, I'm going to listen to it again, is that really there's an importance of holistic health, shifting your focus from aesthetics to holistic well-being, and then emphasizing the importance of mental health. This episode is supposed to be life-changing. I need to listen to it again because I was not in the right headspace when I was listening to this. And I'm excited to dive deeper again into it because many people have shared this one with me. When I said, what can I do to help my mindset? This was shared repeatedly with me. So I'm really excited about that. When shit gets real bad and I need to figure it out fast, box breathing, that 4-count breathing has helped so much. So inhale for 4, breathe for 4, holding at the top, exhale for 4, and then hold at the bottom for 4. It's a huge, huge game changer in how I feel. It has helped me calm down in the worst moments when I'm feeling like I'm going to hit the cliff of that panic attack and that mindset shift. So truly making sure that you are just paying attention to when you need that little tool in your toolbox and having that in your back pocket for when you need it. Also, side note, there's a man with a flyer at my door and he's looking at me through the window and it is making me feel so uncomfortable. But I'm going to continue recording because I am intentionally using my time for this. And I'm sorry, sir, but I do not want your flyer. I got to talk to you later. Okay. Okay. Huge one that I didn't talk about earlier. This is also for my ADHDers. All of this is, but when you're getting out of your mindset and your body and you're getting in the wrong mindset, pull back on phone time. Phone time needs to pull back. You do not need to have all your time spent, your free time spent, or that time that was intentionally planned to be on social. Social has not helped me, okay? It has not helped me feel better. It's not my win. I don't go on there and say, oh my God, I feel so much better when I leave it. So why are we still waking up in the morning and grabbing for our phone and spending 30 minutes scrolling when we could be getting up, taking a few deep breaths, doing a 5-minute meditation, washing our face, and heading to the gym? Think about all those wellness and mindset and holistic things we could have been doing had we just taken a breath, decided what we wanted to intentionally do with our time, and done that instead of scrolling. Honey, pulling that phone time back has saved me. I caught myself doing it today and I got about 10 minutes in and realized I needed to chop that shit right now. And I did. And now I feel 10 times better this morning, like truly. And I didn't get to my workout because I cut into my workout time. But what I did do is I sat outside and I took a breath. I had a coffee on my porch. I washed my face and took my time this morning. I prepped my lunch. Like I did things that I knew would make me feel better throughout the entirety of the day versus like a quick hit of energy in that moment scrolling on my phone. This is funny because it is the hardest one for me, but allow yourself to have fun. Like, why do we need to be perfect at everything all the time? Like, why do we need to have everything perfect and together in order to have good times? Like that's not fair. You're just going to burn yourself out like I did. And I think we need to tell ourselves that enjoyment is going to make you work harder. And giving yourself a little bit of grace and a period of time to just chill is actually going to make you work even better on the other side because you'll know you had a fun weekend and you're diving back in. Like, be intentional and allow yourself to have fun. I am so guilty of that, of being like, no, I can't do that because I really should be punishing myself for not getting this podcast. And no, I didn't feel good, right? Like you know, punishing yourself for not getting something done or punishing yourself for having a looming task over you. No, set aside an hour, get a dent into that task. 99% of our tasks probably don't take more than an hour. You got it done. Maybe you did, maybe you didn't. And then off to your fun thing that you scheduled. Allow that fun time, even if it's not done. Leave that thing for later. You will feel 10 times better when you come back to it after feeling freed and fun, right? Freed and fun. Oh, nature time. I don't even want to have to express this one, but like putting your feet actually in the grass. For me, it's getting out on the paddleboard and being outside and the sun actually touching my skin. It is everything. It is healing. The sun is healing. The floor and the ground of the earth is healing. It is so important to get back connected with nature. And journaling for gratitude and then personal affirmations. And I don't need to go in depth about a lot of those, but I shouldn't need anyone to tell me how amazing I am. I should know how amazing I am. And those affirmations will actually lift you up the more you're reminding yourself, like, I am a good person. I'm well-rounded. I'm lucky. I'm grateful. You're going to pick your shit up and you're going to be jazzed, okay? Because I will tell you what, when I sit in that circle of overwhelm and I talk myself down, it gets damn worse. I'm walking down the steps all the way down in that overwhelm hole. But when I'm talking the other way, why wouldn't it be different, right? Or excuse me, why would it be different? It's the same. Talk yourself out of the overwhelm. Talk yourself out with personal affirmations. Get your mind and your body back in tune. It's so important. Part of my problem with having this overwhelm come back around is my motivation. So I want to read this listener write-in about motivation, and I'm hoping that we can help her. And I'm also hoping that we can relate to it and work on how do we move forward and stay on track in our motivation and looking ahead, not backwards. How to get back on track and motivated. I'm in grad school and I've recently moved to the Netherlands from Seattle and have been struggling to maintain, stay motivated to follow my normal routines like working out. I joined a lacrosse team, which I have never played, and this has helped me a little bit, but I still am finding it difficult to stay motivated to go to the gym and lift like I used to. I'm thinking it might just be that I am working really hard mentally in school right now and find it hard to get up and go. My gym also opens later in the morning, which is hard because I'm such a morning person. I have always been in sports and I just haven't been feeling to like myself. I was wondering if you have any advice on how to get back on track, specifically fitness-wise. How do you stay motivated when you have a lot on your plate? And how do you navigate creating new routines when you go through a big transition period? Thank you so much. So much love. Okay, so this is so relatable and so real. And I thank you for writing this in. And congrats on the move to the Netherlands because that is fucking sick. I wish you could send me pictures once you hear this, hopefully, because I want to see. I've never been in the Netherlands. I've always wanted to go. But I will say two things that I'm hearing in here. You had a huge period of change. And just like when we drop into our overwhelm hole, you've got to climb yourself back out of that. Change is so uncomfortable and so is being in that overwhelm. So climbing yourself out one thing at a time and giving yourself grace is everything. When I'm in my overwhelm hole, I get mad at myself for not working out, but it doesn't help me, right? And sometimes I just need a little bit of alone time with my meditation and my motivation podcasts and just like working on my plan to get out instead of working out. So I sacrifice that. Sometimes motivation is not going to do it for you. And honestly, recognizing that not every day is going to be about motivation. When you go to the gym, it is not about motivation, my friends. Consistency is what's going to get you to the gym, right? Having that block time on your schedule, on your calendar. Remember, we talked about that earlier. That is what's going to get you to the gym. And sometimes I'm going to just tell you straight up, it's not going to happen. I can guarantee majority of people are not going to the gym every single day that they're saying they're going. And I'm going to also preface with there's likely stuff in your life that's going to get in the way that needs your time more than the gym sometimes. And that sucks, but you don't need to feel guilty if it was prioritized correctly. So I would block time for this person. Go on walks in the morning. If your gym isn't open, get your zone 2 cardio out of the way so that later you're only spending like 30 to 40 minutes at the gym doing your lifting or whatever it is that your workout is. A perfect little plan is a nice long like stroll walk in the morning and then your lift after work or whenever you can get it in before she's going back into school and grad school. So that is absolutely what I would do. Staying motivated when you have a lot on your plate is not easy. That's why a lot of the times I just block. You have to make time for yourself. You have to give yourself that time to feel good and to put yourself first. When we give so much to our work, to our relationships, to everybody else, why can we not give that time to us as well? So being busy means that you need to block that time for you. And creating new routines when you're going through a big transition period is hard. So don't overdo it, right? Maybe it's one day you go to the gym, right? Since you've moved, you found your groove, right? Maybe if that feels too light, maybe it's more like 3, maybe it's 4, right? So decide what is overwhelming and what is not. Get in the pattern of the non-overwhelming pattern or trait, and then jump into adding on more, okay? I could keep going on and on and on and on, but I am a little bit sleepy and I'm still feeling a little bit emotionally drained right now, if I'm being totally completely honest with you. But I just wanted to end with like mindset switches that you need. Some of these are write-ins from listeners that have really like made me feel seen and heard. And I just want to end with that and maybe one more call in. But this one says, the past is the damn past. It really is. It's not coming back. There's no reason to dwell on it. It is gone. If anything, all you can do is learn from it. So decide what you're taking from your past and move forward. Look ahead. What really matters? Does posting on social media really matter? Is that one of your priorities? Is that something? For some of us, it is, right? I do kind of need to maintain the platform and do things. But what really matters about that? Does it matter if I made a flop of a post? No, that's something I'm working with my friend with too. She's like, stop judging yourself mid trying. Does it matter that nobody liked that one or it like didn't perform well? No. On to the next day, on to the next week, it's already gone, right? So what actually matters? I will tell you one thing, my health matters, my family's health, Jordan's health. I have a roof over my head. The food that I'm putting in my mouth needs to be budgeted so that it can be healthy and good for my body. And aside from that, I've got a great job and that matters to me. I've figured out my finances. That's something you need to address head on if you haven't. But what really matters are those things. This overwhelm, where is it coming from? And is it coming from something that doesn't matter? Not everything deserves a reaction or a response, okay? So give everything a day and see if it still bugs you. If it's still bugging you, then maybe it had a reason to get you pissed off. I also have heard the one where it says, if this is going to be a big deal in 2 years from now, then you can it can be a big deal now. But if it's not a big deal in 2 years, then stop obsessing over it. So really thinking about what deserves my reaction, what deserves taking me off of my path of looking ahead, not looking in the past, and staying emotionally on track, which will keep me out of that overwhelm and keep my ADHD centered, okay? What can I control and what can I not control? Sometimes you cannot control things and you can only control the way that you react to them. Yes. Did I run over a giant ass nail the other day? Yes, I did. I ran over this giant nail on the highway. It punctured the side of my car. It went like up, like literally a foot into the underneath of my tire, but it didn't puncture my tire, right? It went into like the piece that holds my tire in. Can I control that? Even though I just got my car back from being in an accident and having some issues and paying like $1,000 for new batteries? No, I can't control it, but I can control the way that I react to it and just say, you know what? I couldn't have seen that coming. I couldn't have done anything different. Me being pissed off about it is going to help literally nothing and no one. So recognizing what you can and can't control, moving forward instead of obsessing. One that I have struggled with the most this past week is understand your worth. My God, why is it that someone else has to tell us, right? Someone else's disrespect does not attach to your self-worth, right? So please, the next time somebody says something funky to you or you're not invited to something or something sends you into a spiral about friends, remember that your self-worth is not related to how anybody else is expressing feelings towards you and doesn't need to be recognized by somebody else, okay? You are worth it. You are amazing. You are worth all of these habits that we've talked about. Focus in, put yourself first, be kind to yourself, okay?
Hello. First of all, I just want to say thank you so much for this podcast. I obviously like laugh and I feel like I learn a lot of things, but my favorite part is that you guys make me feel like I'm just like in a conversation with my friends at home. And I just really appreciate the community that you created with Well Said. Mm-hmm. So my question for you guys is I am someone who I can't help but like plan the next 5 to 10 years of my life ahead of time. I am way too future oriented sometimes and I feel like I'm missing the moment sometimes. So a goal of mine is trying to be more present and like live in the moment. So I would love to hear from you guys, like what is your methods or like practices that you guys do to try to be more mindful and like, you know, present in the everyday. All right. Well, thank you again. Okay. Bye.
Living in the moment can be really hard. And I struggle at this sometimes because I get so caught up and over my toes, which is usually, again, what puts me in the overwhelm hole, we call it. But practicing all of the things organically, one at a time that we talked about to practice today, like that meditation, that mindfulness, that energy going outside, that hydration, practicing each of those things one at a time will keep you in the present moment, right? Because it's one little step after another, keeping you going. Without keeping you going, there is no further present moment because you're going to get trapped where you are or behind where you are. So keeping those little habits going is huge. For me, being present is about recognizing that I want this moment to be here and I want to be here, right now. Like There's so many moments where I'm just in bed and I'm cuddled up next to my fiance and I've got my animals next to me and I want to just feel in that moment. So I close my eyes. I usually count to 10 and I just soak in all the feelings. And now when I go to bed, I usually reminisce on moments versus wishful thinking of the future, right? I've got a plan. Guess what? Your plan will probably change and that's okay. But what will be sad is when you get to that goal that you set for 5 or 10 years from now, and you didn't even soak in the moments that came along with it. You didn't even soak in those days that you just were able to go outside and be in the sun and have an iced tea in your hand and soak up the summer sunshine on your skin. Or the moments when your dog was really small and she was a puppy and you brought her to the dog park and it was just like a lazy day. You went outside once and whatever. Or that date night that was so spontaneous and random because you were just relaxed and you decided that, hey, we're going to go into downtown and we're just going to like pick like 2 fun restaurants and get a nap there. Like those moments would not happen when we get too overly structured and too obsessive with the future. Because when we get obsessive, we usually curl in, we get closed off. So making sure that you're opening yourself up to moments that are happening now, not tomorrow, not the next day, not 5 years. You can have those plans. They can be on paper. They can be by taking those little steps that I talked about, right? Meditation, hydrate, and then maybe it's email X person this week. Maybe next week it's that email turns into a phone call. That still is going to get you to your bigger goal one thing at a time. But in order to get to that bigger goal, you got to be healthy. You got to be happy. You got to have lived in your moments and fulfilled your life all the way to that finish line. Because I'll tell you one thing, I do not want to look backwards and wish shoulda, coulda, woulda, I would have been more present in my life in those moments. So that is what I have to say about being present. It is easier said than done. It is not that hard, or excuse me, it's not that easy. So give yourself grace. I am tired. I have had a long work day and I need to go relax. So I'm going to skadoodle and I will talk to you guys on Monday of next week. So don't worry, we'll be back on track. I got to cuddle my dog, go outside, make some dinner, do all the things, but I love you. Thank you for being here. Thank you for also listening and hearing me out. And even when I ramble, I have good intentions when I ramble. And I'm so thankful that everybody here always gives me love and kindness when I need it too. And I hope that I can give you the same because you are amazing. You are impeccable. You are like, you are doing the very fucking best that you can. And I'm proud of you. And I see you. And you don't have to have your shit together. I don't. This is proof that you don't need to have it all together and your life can still seemingly be amazing because it is. We get to live and breathe and move our bodies and be on this freaking planet, this floating rock that we're on. So let's get our mindset right together. And I hope that you learned a ton and took a ton away from this episode and we can come into next week feeling bomb. ADHD queens, we out. Follow me at Well Said Podcast and at Well Said Sid. At Well Said Sid is more about my personal life and personal habits and health. And the podcast, of course, is podcast clips and more advice. I love you. I appreciate you. Thank you for being here. Talk to you next week.